Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts. We are so excited. Grant brought friends today, and Grant is Chara's son. So Grant's here, and Emily and Christina. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Tara, of course, is here, myself, Sandy, and we are in Philippians 2, if you've been tuning in, and we didn't get through quite where we thought we were going to get through last time, so we're going to go back and be in Philippians 2, 15, and you know, God willing, we're going to get to 30.
But we may not, and that's
and we
okay.
May not.
It's all right.
That's right.
It's all good. We're just going to enjoy what we are looking at and see what God does. Well, we're glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming in. All right, so to catch everybody up, what we've been doing, I was thinking, this is our seventh month?
Sandy? I don't even know. It might be.
I think so. And then I've been actually studying this for 8 months because of preparation into it. You know, that's not a daily thing, but it just cracks me up. It's like, wow, spending so much time. And I feel like I'm just grasping more and more, and I still don't have a full grasp on it. It's crazy.
There's a lot in this chapter.
It is a beautiful book.
Yep.
A beautiful book. And so Paul is writing to the people of Philippi. And the uniqueness about chapter 2 is that chapter 2 really is our call to walk in humility like Jesus, and it's the example. And we will walk through some of that at some point in this series of the five different types of humility he counters and talks about within the chapter. But we needed to finish up where we were because we were talking about Paul telling the people of Philippi that they were to stop grumbling and complaining. And the people of Philippi, so that Emily can be aware of what we've been doing and those that are listening in case they haven't been following the show. In Acts 16, we are told that Paul, when he went to Philippi, he had gone down to the river to pray, and there was Lydia and a bunch of women, and he ended up sharing Christ. They came to know the Lord, invited him back to their house, and he and Silas ended up staying with them. Then they're walking through the city, praying, and this demon-possessed girl is following along behind, you know, these men are of the Most High God, shouting, and just for days, she won't leave them alone. He finally just turns in the name of Jesus, be gone, and the demon's gone. Well, the merchants that owned this slave girl were upset, and so they threw them into prison. Well, while in prison, they're singing, and they're, you know, just praising God, and about midnight, earthquake happens, and their chains are broken. The jailer wakes. He's about to kill himself because he's thinking the prisoners have gotten free. And he's like, no, don't. We're all still here and accounted for. And then he asks, how can you be saved? And he shares. And that man comes to know the Lord. And the whole family, he takes him back to the house to clean him up. His whole family comes to know the Lord. So in Philippi, he had a rich, wealthy woman who was Asian that came to know the Lord. A poor, demon-possessed girl come to know the Lord. And a average Joe Roman jailer. And so it shows the diversity of the people that he had reached in Philippi. They've been taking care of him. They've sent money for him. And they're the only letter that Paul does not, like, criticize. He encourages and praises them. And he tells them, don't grumble and complain. And so that's where we kind of ended last time, to give you an idea of where we were. Now, let's read, if we would. Grant, do you want to be the one to read for us?
Sure.
Would you read verses 14, chapter 2, through verse 18 for us? And that's where we'll focus for the moment.
Okay. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
I love it. All right, so what does it mean to be blameless and pure? Let's just talk on that. You guys, what are your thoughts? What do you think that means? What's he talking about?
Almost like without fault, mm-hmm. even though that's almost impossible, but...
Right.
Well, I mean, like, our goal should be to be like God. So, I mean, he is the perfect model. So to be blameless and without, like, fault, that would be to be like him.
Right. Okay, good. You know, and it... I agree, Christina. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I wrote down, do you mean all the time? I mean, does that mean in my thought life, in my actions, in my home? That moment when I snap at my children, like Grant or my husband, and, you know, it's like I was trying to understand that, and it literally, the actual definition is without fault. Mm. So if you look that up, you are a good girl. If you came up with that, go Holy Spirit. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, all right, how does my life resemble Jesus? Asking what Grant just said, literally, if we're being a people that are pure and blameless, when people are watching us interact, we should be asking ourselves as I'm doing things, whatever I say, whatever I do, however I'm interacting, it doesn't mean perfection. It just means I'm thinking through the process. Okay, do they recognize Jesus in me? Can they, in my actions, in my words, see that it is Christ in me? And one commentator, I think it was the Holman New Testament commentary, they said we should be asking, do I resemble more our culture or do I resemble more Christ?
You know, and when we're grumbling, we've got something on our mind that we shouldn't have on our mind. I was listening to Charles Swindoll, I think, on the way in here, and he was talking about, you know, thinking pure thoughts or thoughts that are worthy of Christ instead of the world. Mm. And that just fits right in that grumbling and complaining and, you know,
right.
We're thinking the wrong thing. We're not thinking of who we should think of or focus on.
Right, retraining our minds.
Right.
This, I'm preparing for our next Israel trip, so if you guys want to go, you should pray about that. Mm-hmm. And I am studying creation right now and preparing it in story form because I teach it in the fall in my oral story class. And as I'm going through it and I'm watching as God creates creation, and then he says, let us make man in our own image, it occurred to me, at creation, there is no culture. Mm. Culture has not existed yet because it's the very beginning, because man is who creates culture. I had this major aha moment with God, like, oh my goodness, it was so fresh, and he had a chance. Adam was creating the culture for us. Mm-hmm. By taking this thought, help me to be blameless and pure, help me to be like Jesus, we actually in the moment can create Christ's culture in the moment. And we often think that we're prey to our culture, but we can create culture. We are culture creators. That's a gift that God has given us. And so the challenge of thinking through blameless and pure, how can I be the culture creator that represents Christ? So that was kind of fun for me on thinking on that. The word blameless does mean above reproach. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that this is not sinless perfection to live so that others will not be pointing a finger. It's just, you know, not allowing people to give question, you know, and so doing things that would not put them where they would question us. And the word pure, this is really cool. It's used in describing wine that has not been diluted or a metal that has not been weakened. So, like a metal that has been weakened won't be as strong. So still, if they were weakening it and made it bendable or malleable, then that still would not be as strong. And so thinking through what can make us the most strong. And so that gives us a little idea. So this is the next question, and Sandy, you were touching on it. If I'm going to be blameless and pure, and he has told us do everything without grumbling and complaining, how can stopping grumbling and complaining make us faultless, without fault? How does that help?
Well, when you have a negative mindset towards things, so if you're like grumbling and complaining about stuff, everything takes on that like just negative look to it. And so then you're going to be acting negatively towards each and every one of those things that probably weren't even the reason you were complaining to begin with, but because you're in that mindset, you're now acting that way towards like other areas of your life. So if you get rid of the grumbling and complaining, then you're all of a sudden like your world's gonna brighten so much, you know, like
so
without
true,
sounding
true,
cliche, but you know, it's gonna be like so many different things are going to seem better than they seemed before.
I think you're right, Grant. Negativity breeds negativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're in one area, pretty soon it's in another area.
Right. And first I'll go from my own sin. I have found that as a wife, my poor Greg, you know, he's the person that God teaches me the most lessons through. Next would be then learning and growing as I raise my children. But if I get mad at Greg, and in my mind, I am practicing my grumbling mm-hmm. against my husband, I have discovered that even when he is doing that which is good and holy, it's not good enough. It is really, really sick, sad thing that yeah. happens, and that it destroys my ability to even see that that which is right.
Right.
It destroys it. So when I allow that spirit of complaining, grumbling in my heart, it actually separates me in my relationship mm-hmm. of the very one relationship that should most resemble Christ with my husband. And so I have to guard that. Early on in our marriage, Greg and I, this year it'll be 25 years. Early on in our marriage, I confess, I could go weeks without having it dealt with because I was young and I hadn't grown mm-hmm. up. I began to learn over time, if I'm messed up with God, I mean with Greg, I'm messed up with God. And so the more I would be grousing about him, I found the harder it was for me to rightly relate to God. And so I discovered that if I wanted my relationship to be right with God, I needed to get it right with Greg. And so I started dealing with things quicker and not allowing mm-hmm. things to last long.
Right. Because you dwell on it.
Right.
And then pretty soon it's bitterness and then it's something. Right. And I've been there.
Right. And
just recently, actually.
I was convicted that it was my sin because I'm the one that fell out of love.
Yeah. But we've got to realize that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That if I'm grumbling and complaining, I'm not loving. Mm-hmm. Because Scripture says love keeps no record
That's
of
right.
wrong.
Yep.
And that is hard. That is a hard test to do.
It
so, I think that's why in Matthew 10:16 it tells us that we should be as wise as serpents, but as innocent as doves.
Mm.
And I was reading a devotional this week, and this was so cool. It's Sparkling Gems. Rick Renner is the author. And he was talking about the difference between a poisonous snake and a non-poisonous snake. He said that you can never train a poisonous snake. A poisonous snake is not trainable and not capable of being domesticated, ever. Because what is in them, their reaction is always going to be to attack, protect. And so, whereas a non-poisonous snake, you can actually tame a non-poisonous snake and have it be domesticated to where it will, like, you know, sit on your neck or whatever. And I was thinking about that, in that we have to guard and not allow ourselves to where we get so toxic in our grumbling and complaining that we actually become poisonous. Because a poisonous snake is always going to react with attack. And if we allow grumbling and complaining to grow in us, at some point we become where we have become poisonous and we're no longer trainable. And so we got to guard against that, not allow that to become a part. Does that make sense?
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
It was like so convicting for me. I don't know if it is for you guys or not.
Okay. Definitely.
That's the ouch about doing the radio shows.
Yeah. We go through it.
I know. Okay. The next thing I wanted to ask you guys, and I really want you to think on this one. How do I know the difference between grumbling and complaining and good problem solving?
Hmm.
What's the difference?
I think it really all comes down to attitude. Because, I mean, other people could, like, perceive it as wrong with inside of you if, like, you're not carefully, like, showing them your actual thoughts about it. But, like, if inside you're not, like, angry about it, you're not upset about it, and you're just stating the facts, trying to figure out what the next step is, then, you know, that would be the difference between grumbling and complaining than just, you know, like, this is where I'm at, this is what's happening, and now I need to figure out what the next thing is.
Okay. I want you, because of what you just said, to go back and real quick, I'm going to pull it here. Read for us what it says right there in 2:5, Philippians 2:5.
you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had.
So, going back, the very beginning of what we had, I think this is now like 3 months ago in our recordings, we are called to have the attitude of Christ. And some translations say, let your mind be that of Christ. Be like-minded with Christ. Have the attitude of Christ. It's a choice.
Yeah, everything's a choice.
It is a choice. So the heart of how we do it, the heart of, am I grumbling and complaining because I'm grousing, or am I sharing problem-solving ideas so that we can be productive and move forward to grow for transformation? There's a difference. And we all know when it happens in our heart. We may not be able to describe what it happens, but you know the difference between when you're truly problem solving and you're grumbling and complaining,
you
right?
Do.
And usually if we're grumbling and complaining, when somebody gives us solutions, we say, but no. We actually don't want to listen to the solution.
We ignore them.
We ignore them. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do Emily.
Shh. Especially with my parents.
Oh, I'm sorry. God help us.
Sorry.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
And so with that attitude, one of the things that I think that has to happen is that I have to have a teachable spirit. Mm. And so I've started praying. The other day I was in some staff meetings, and I'm just going to confess my sin again. Sometimes sin just happens, and you're like, where did that come from? Why did my mind go there? And so I'm sitting in a meeting, and we're having this amazing meeting. We're doing amazing planning, and we're getting things ready for our RA trip, and all these wonderful things happen. And then I look down, and I'm like, well, what about me? I literally went into a grumbling complaint in my head. Like, in an instant, I was moving along in holy and righteousness, and then ding.
Yep.
And then my face changed, because you know when God talks to Cain, he says, your countenance has changed. You must master the sin that is crouching at your door. Our face shows when our heart has changed.
Absolutely.
My countenance changed, and the what about me came out, and I'm like, pride. Where did that pride come from? And then all of a sudden I'm like, Lord, get this out of me. I cannot have this. And I started confessing it immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, the next day, I was talking with our dean of men, and he goes, so were you okay? What happened? And I had to look at him like, you did nothing? I will tell you, I fell into sin, and I asked to ask God to forgive me. So I started singing this song from Lecrae, I Can Be the Background. And he started laughing and nodding his head. He's like, oh my goodness. It just, sometimes it happens. So you need to come back next week, because we're already done. And thanks for listening to Cultivating Hearts.